Over the years, virtually every rock crate has made their way into BBC studios to be interviewed, play live, or record sessions. I'm Johnny Walker, and this week at the BBC, we're tracing the history of one of the hardest and the heaviest of them all, Led Zeppelin. They're also one of the most elusive, so what you're about to hear ranks pretty highly on the Zeppelin rarity list. So sit back and enjoy Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, John Paul Jones, and John Bonham. Led Zeppelin.
Okay, we're in the studio with the Led Zeppelin now, and we'll reel them off. John Bonham, Robert Plant, Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones. Let's speak to John Paul Jones first. And I believe that you are a musical arranger as well as a composer. Is this true?
A musical arranger as well as a composer?
Yes.
No.
A composer as well as a musical arranger?
No, a musical arranger as well as a bass guitarist.
Musical. Can we do this again?
And if I say to you tomorrow, take my hand, child, come with me here. It's to a castle I will take you, where what's to be, they say, will be here. If you say to me tomorrow, oh, what fun it all would be, then what's to stop us, pretty baby? But what is them, what should never be? The sunrise, and all your dreams are still as new, and happiness is what you need so bad.
Good evening and welcome to the Led Zeppelin Show. The purpose of the program tonight is to provide a platform which allows bands removed from the normal confines of the record industry and free from commercial manipulation to present a true statement about their music. For this program, we wanted to give a band complete creative freedom and the opportunity to communicate. We chose Led Zeppelin. A couple of questions to the two members of the band who've now joined me on my left. Robert Plant, the lead vocalist, and you also play harmonica, Robert, right?
When permitting.
Yeah. And on my right, Jimmy Page, lead guitarist. Well, I'd like to ask you first, what do you feel about this question of restricting the performance of bands such as yours on mass media programs? One does hear about bands being turned down by television companies because they're sort of not suitable for family audiences, they say. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's very true because there's only really one outlet for our sort of band, you know, like Jethro Tull and 10 years after this sort of band. And that's Top Gear, you know, and that's only 2 hours in 1 week.
Yes.
And of course, they have to sort of play records as well, so there's a lot of needle time. And in fact, the time allotted for groups is very short. So even there, you get problems with, like, long numbers, you know. And you find that you're restricted to, say, a 4 minute or 5 minute number. And, you know, all the groups now tend to sort of stretch their numbers, and it gets quite a problem. You know, you get... Well, you know, you end up doing, say, a couple of blues numbers and nothing more, you know, because it's short.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right, but you do enjoy freedom of expression in other areas of your work, for instance, in the studio. But don't you think to have freedom in the studio is, nothing short of revolutionary? When you think of the Beatles, 5 years ago, even the Beatles would take, what, 1 day to cut a complete album. They didn't seem to have freedom to plan and produce.
Well, they weren't paying for the studio time, you see. The thing is, if you can go in there with the intention of saying, well, we've heard a lot of things which don't really catch the ear on more than one play, you know, you can't really remember them, and you go in there with the intention of putting something down that is impressive at least to yourselves. I mean, you can't tell about everybody else. Going in with that idea, you've got to come out with something good. I mean, there's a lot of people who are onto a good thing and they think, well, we'll just go in and turn out the same thing again or just a little bit different. You get the sounds like Tamla sounds and things, which are very impressive in as much. But they sort of seem to be churned, you know.
Mm.
But if you go in with the intention, right, we want to do what we want to do and we're going to do it whatever happens, then you can come out with something reasonable. That's what's happening now.
You know? Mm. Yes, that's what's happening, but how did this come about? Do you have any sort of theories on how you've sort of broken free from being sort of dictated to, perhaps by a record company? Would this have happened in the past? Would they have sort of said, we'd like you to cut this kind of record?
No. Because they wanted to keep studio costs down to a bare minimum, you know. And so, therefore, anything that meant, say, 15 minutes of recorded time meant a lot of time, you know, in the studio while you were recording it and sorting things out. And so they prefer to have, like, the two-minute track, which, you know, you could probably do in 3 hours, the overall recording of it.
Well, let's get on to another question. Led Zeppelin, like a growing number of bands, don't seem to rate or aim at the hit parade as such in their career. Is this true?
Not entirely, no. But not a singles chart, you know,
right.
Mainly the LP charts. Because I think if you have a hit single, then you have the trouble with the record company saying, well, you've had one hit single, now you've got to have a follow-up. And for us, it's hard enough, you know, to get the albums going, let alone singles as well.
And the general public, they seem to slate you if you get something together. What they don't seem to understand is that people like Bessie Smith, In the very early days, believe it or not, some of her records sold over 1 million, you know. And that was in, like, 1927. Mm. And she was really, like, everybody was going, oh, too much. And now people are saying she's too much because they think that she never sold more than about 10 records a time.
Right. would you say Bessie Smith was, in those days, counted as, say, a minority taste?
I think just people went out and bought what they liked then.
Yeah,
you know, they weren't sort of ruled by somebody saying, he's far out, man.
Well, we've talked a bit about freedom and creative freedom. Thanks very much, Jimmy. Thanks, Robert.
Okay.
So let's use some of it tonight, and perhaps if you would, you could do one of your longer numbers. Feel free to do anything you like.
Oh, really?
Great.
Jim Morrison.
And when we finish that, we'll be well out of breath. So we'll do a thing called Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused.
you will. Will your tongue wag so much when I send you the mail? Yeah. My, 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 my baby. My, 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 my.
Thank you.
Well, it's back now to Led Zeppelin, and it's a rather special number. I know Jimmy Page was rather keen to do this one. It's by way of contrast. I don't know if Jimmy would like to introduce it, but I'll tell you the title of the number. It's White Summer.
Thank you. Anyway, with the help of John and everybody else, we're going to get it by, I think. He's got his medallions and his leather suit, I believe.
I was really knocked out that so many people came to see me tonight.
Oh, Rory Gallagher said that they shouldn't wear spaceman suits.
Ah. Oh.
One night I was laying down, oh Lord, and I heard my mama and papa talking. I hear them say, man, you gotta let that boy boogie woogie, 'cause it's in him, man, it's got to come out. I felt so good. I think I've been boogieing just the same as I have.
just got your lander, baby. Too bad you can't come home. Sugar!
I'm Johnny Walker, and for the last hour, you've been listening to Led Zeppelin at the BBC. This is BBC Radio 2, online, on digital radio, and on 88 to 91 FM.